Hare Krishna. It's not quite on here. Okay. Jack Turney?
Is that the whole, this is about the whole picture of yourself? Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a drop in the bowl at the top.
Yeah, maybe, yes, it does look that way.
Oh, there's a spotlight there. Is that the same one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just read, and if you want to say anything, say it, and if I want to say anything, I'll say it. And you're in charge of turning it.
This is a presentation that we made in Perth, in Western Australia, for Srila Prabhupada, for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day in 2015. There are some photos in here that have not been discovered until recently. So it's called The Exemplary Life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Practically, this Chaitanya movement, of course, Lord Chaitanya inaugurated this movement 500 years ago. But after that, so many pseudo-Chaitanyaites depreciated the whole thing. But this Chaitanya movement, in its pure form, as it is, was restarted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We should take it that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the origin of the Krishna consciousness movement in its pure form, Srila Prabhupada. This is a rare copy that was recently found of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's actual handwriting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was entitled the seventh Goswami of Gaudiya Sampradaya. He was born in opulent circumstances on the 2nd of September 1838 and named Kedaranath Datta by his father. He was the seventh son of Raj Krishna Das Datta. I think that's the seventh generation, not son. Seventh generation from Raj Krishna Ananda Datta, a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. His home was in Mir Naga, Ulagram, in the district of Nadia. Although he faced hardships in his early life, he grew into a very talented young man. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born into a wealthy family, but very soon in his early childhood, he lost all that wealth, and many of his family members, brothers, father, and so forth, also passed away. So his life became very difficult. By age 18, 1856, Kedarnath Datta entered college in Calcutta. He started writing extensively in both English and Bengali. These essays were published in local journals. He was very taken by Christian theology and found it more interesting than Hindu monism.
Advaita Gyan.
He would spend many hours comparing the writings of Channing, Theodore Parker, Emerson and Newman. These were well-known writers in the 1800s, philosophical and Christian. The understanding which he had of the Western intellectuals of his time was remarkable. Later, in his preaching, he anticipated many of the arguments and doubts and resolved them with powerful logic, persuasive conviction and scriptural knowledge. When still a young man, he entered into the intellectual and political circles of his day. In the year 1861, he accepted the post of a deputy magistrate in the government of Bengal, and in 1866 he took the position of deputy register with the power of a deputy collector and deputy magistrate in the district of Chapara. So he was developing his career. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur later became the district magistrate in Puri. District magistrate, by the way, in the British government, was a very powerful, influential and high post. So he became the district magistrate in Jagannath Puri and a manager of the Jagannath temple. He carefully established regularity in the worship of the deities. And this is a picture seen of him with his son, Vimal Prasad, who was born in Jagannath Puri and, as we know, later became Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master. Holding an exalted government post and vast erudition, greatly learned, and spiritual accomplishment, never disturbed Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He always remained prideless, humble, and friendly to all. Charity seekers at his home always left happy and satisfied. A well-wisher to everyone, he never held grudges, even with opponents to his preaching. In fact, he never spoke a word that would hurt another's feelings. He was an ideal gentleman. He had a responsible government position as the district magistrate, the High Court judge, and he maintained also a Krishna-conscious family. And he wrote almost 100 books on Krishna consciousness. At the same time, he served the Supreme Lord in so many ways. That is the beauty of his life. This is Srila Prabhupada speaking. After a full day of government service, he would sleep 4 hours, get up at midnight, and write until morning. That was his daily program, Srila Prabhupada is telling us. So this is a picture of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his official magistrate dress. While living in Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took the opportunity to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 6 Sandarbhas of Srila Jiva Goswami, and the Govinda Bhasya, or the summary, the study of Vedanta,
commentary,
written by Baladevaji Bhushan. He also studied Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in great detail. By making a display of intense study, he demonstrated the necessity of cultivating an understanding of the scriptures in order to learn the truths about pure devotion. He also had a large family of 12 children. This is 10 of his children here in this picture. So he was managing a family of 12 children. He was a district magistrate and he went 2 times a day to the courtroom. He slept 4 hours a day. He ate a very regulated meal that was minute, a future party's just a very tiny meal. And at the same time he was doing all of this study and writing. So this is just to give us a magnitude of what it means to actually be a divinely empowered person. Anxious to use every moment in loving service of Krishna, he followed a strict, austere daily schedule. So from 8 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock at night, he would rest for 2 hours. From 10 o'clock at night to 4 a.m., he would write. From 4 a.m. to 4:30 a.m., he would rest. From 4:30 a.m. to 7 a.m., he would chant his japa, 2.5 hours. From 7 a.m. to 7:30, half an hour, he would answer correspondence. From 7:30 till 9:30, that was his 2 hours of study. From 9:30 to 10, he fitted in his bath and his prasadam, which was 1/2 liter of milk, fruit, and 2 japatis. From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., he did his court duties. From 1 to 2, again, he rested at home. From 2 to 5, he went again and did his court duties.
And he was famed for being able to resolve difficult cases very quickly because of his perfectly clear consciousness.
From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., he translated Sanskrit Shastra into Bengali. That was his time for translation. From 7 till 8, he took bath, prasadam, half a liter of milk, rice, and 2 chapatis. And then he took rest for 2 hours. An extraordinary personality and an extraordinary lifestyle. Accompanied by other respected district magistrates and dignities. So he's sitting here, you can see in the middle, at a later age, surrounded by other important personalities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to understand that the only real religion that had ever been established in Bengal was that of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, unfortunately, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was not well represented. Kedaranath could not even get a copy of the 16th century Bengali biography of Lord Chaitanya and his activities on earth called Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we have in probably everybody's household. He couldn't get a copy despite searching in bookshops, libraries and monasteries all over Bengal, because the Chaitanya movement had become so weakened and lost.
Wait. Please read this one. Dhruv. Loudly.
He carefully studied the works of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay, next.
He finally received a copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. From this time, he said, my respect and reverence for Sri Chaitanya Dev was born. That seed of faith for the Vaishnava Dharma, which was implanted within my heart, soon sprouted. Now I love to study the Shastras, dealing with Krishna, both day and night.
Okay, good training. Okay. You read. So the next one.
He incessantly submitted heartfelt prayers for the Lord's mercy.
And who? You can read the next one.
He came to understand the supreme majesty and power of the one and only absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
This is a picture that was recently found of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's personal library. Of course, I'm sure it didn't look quite like that when he was taking full care of it, but this is more than 100 years later. His writings have made the sacred teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully available to every modern reader, and they are presented in a form which carries irresistible conviction and devotion. This was said by a late disciple of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Okay, yes. You read that one, please. Writing and? Okay, you read that one too. Can you read it? You read it.
Writing and preaching was his life.
You read it. Okay.
In 1891 was the year Bhaktivinoda Thakur took leave from his government service for 2 years.
Just let me say that writing and preaching was his life. Does that sound familiar? It may sound like Srila Prabhupada. Go ahead.
So in 1891, he took retired from his service for 2 years because he desired to preach Sri Harinam. And he opened many branches of Namhata in different districts of Bengal, as well as starting his own preaching in Godram. He took time for preaching along with his writing and government work. So you can see the two parts of his life and how dignified and responsible he was. In Calcutta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started the Sri Vishva Vaishnava Sabha. dedicated to the preaching of pure bhakti as taught by Lord Chaitanya. To publicize the work of the society, he published a small booklet entitled Vishva Vaishnava Kalpavi. Also, he published his own edition of the Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita. He introduced the Chaitanya era calendar, which established the feast day of Gaur Purnima, the day of Lord Chaitanya's appearance in the material world. He lectured and gave readings on Vaishnava books in various religious societies. In the Hindu Herald, an English periodical, he published a detailed account of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life.
Okay,
this is also a very old picture.
Siddhanta.
A servant of Sri Chaitanya.
Anyone else is going to read?
You.
Okay. A servant of Sri Chaitanya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to go to Navadvip and search for the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the exact location of which had been lost for a long time. One night, he was sitting on the roof of the Rani Dharamshala in Navadvip, chanting on his beads, when he spotted in the distance a very tall tal tree. Near the tree, he saw a small building that gave off a remarkable effulgence. In the year 1887, he discovered that the place he'd seen from the Dharamshala roof was in fact the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was the discoverer of the site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world. Here he is seen with one of the people who was helping in the practical side with the location, the recovery of the location, and I don't know who the little boy is in the background. Building the temple at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. After Thakur's retirement from government service, he began going door to door in Calcutta, begging donations of Lord Chaitanya's temple in Mayapur. And this was something that appeared in the newspaper describing him. Babu Kedaranath Dutt, the distinguished district magistrate, who has just retired from the service, is one of the most active members. He has been deputed by the committee to raise subscription and is determined to go from house to house, if necessary, to beg a rupee from each Hindu gentleman for this noble purpose. If Kedaranath Dutta really sticks to his resolution of going round with a bag in hand, we hope that no Hindu gentleman whose house may be honored by the presence of such a devout bhakta will send him away without contributing his mite, however humble it may be, to the Gaur Vishnupriya temple fund.
Service of God was the only thing he longed for.
He was always charitable to Brahmins and equally befriended other castes. He never showed pride, and his amiable disposition was a characteristic feature of his life. He never accepted gifts from others, from anyone. He even declined all honors and titles offered by the government to him on the grounds that they might stand against his holy mission of life. He was very strict in moral principles, and he avoided luxurious life. He would not even chew betel. He never allowed even the harmonium to be played. And he never had any debts. I don't know why those two are placed together, but for some reason the harmonium in those days, of course it was an English instrument, it's not a natural Indian instrument. So it was seen as something that was meant for sort of materialistically enjoyable music, rather than for devotion. So he didn't even accept the harmonium to accompany the kirtan. He disliked theatres because they were frequented by public women. He spoke Bengali, Sanskrit, English, Latin, Urdu, Persian, and Oriya. He started writing books at the age of 12 and continued turning out a profuse number of volumes right up until his departure from this world. This is something of the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is some quotes from his writing. This is called To Love God. It was Christ Jesus who first said, "Love God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and love man as thy brother." This is an absolute truth indeed, but different men put different interpretations on this noble expression. The expressions of all great men are nice, but somewhat mysterious when understood, because they bring the truth nearest to the heart. Otherwise they remain mere letters that kill. Here he is pointing out that great men speak the same words that we hear from many different sources, but their words are bringing truth to our heart. It's very mysterious. And meanwhile, the ordinary words that we see everywhere around us are simply leading us towards our death. The reason of the mystery is that men advanced in their inward approach to the deity are in the habit of receiving revelations which are but mysterious to those that are behind them. Vaishnava Dharma will be the only Dharma. Lord Chaitanya did not invent himself to liberate only a few men in India. Rather, his main objective was to emancipate all living entities of all countries throughout the entire universe. All living entities of all countries throughout the entire universe, and preach the eternal religion. Lord Chaitanya says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, "In every town, country, and village, my name will be sung." There is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass. All the sects and religions will flow like rivers into the ocean of Vaishnava Dharma. And then, of course, he says, "Oh, when will that day come?"
Dr. Vinny, we're going to have to stop right now, if I show, and especially on that note of when will that day come, we'll begin another Bhaktivinoda Bhajan. Can hold that in an easier way. So maybe so this song of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a real song of yearning for purity, for getting mercy, and also for having the ability to spread, to preach. So it's a very, very dear song, and it's right at the next to last song of Srila Bhakti, in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati. So again, you're going to have, we'll face over here for right now, and we'll sing along. And I know you have to leave. Just begin.
Kabe habe bolesi ninawa.
Everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone face their lordships. And offer a very deep prayer. And after a minute or so, I'll read the English of this song. And you can, if you so desire, incorporate that into your prayer. Do you know how to pray? To beg? Gwanitai Marabalaba for some mercy. Do you know how? You can learn slowly. When or when?
No,
no, it's okay. I was just trying to see if I can remove the birds. Can I have Dr. Trini?
Sound is coming from like, this is okay.
Okay. Okay, maybe we can turn that one off.
Yeah.
When or when will that day be mine? No? Okay. Everyone wants to say that one, so when it comes that time, you can say that. When will my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing? When in my heart will your mercy shine? When, oh when, will that day be mine? When, oh when, will that day be mine? Lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. When will my mind attain this quality? Respectful to all, not expecting their honor. Then I shall taste the name's nectar sublime. When, oh when, will that day be mine? Great wealth or followers, feminine beauty, I won't care for them or the comforts of my body. Birth after birth, give me, O Lord Chaitanya, causeless devotion to your feet divine. When or when will that day be mine? When will I utter Krishna, Krishna, Krishna with words choked up and shivering body? When will I be trembling all over, losing bodily color, tears pouring from my eyes? When, oh when, will that day be mine?
When, oh when, will that day be mine?
When in Navadvip along the Ganga bank, shouting Gaur Nityananda as a surrendered soul, dancing, chanting, running everywhere, when will I become half mad of mind? When, oh when, will that day be mine? When will Lord Nityananda show mercy upon me? When will I reject the world of Maya? Bestow unto me the shade of your lotus feet, and let the right to preach the name be mine. When, oh when, will that day be mine?
When, oh when, will that day be mine?
I will beg, borrow, or steal the nectar of the name. By the name's effects, I will feel paralyzed. Oh, enjoyer of the nectar of the name, when will I touch your lotus feet till the end of time? When, oh when, will that day be mine?
When, oh when, will that day be mine?
When kindness to all beings will be appearing, with free heart, forgetting myself comforting, Bhaktivinoda in all humility praise, now I will set out to preach your order sublime. When, oh when, will that day be mine?
When, oh when, will that day be mine?
So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, perhaps you can put on the lights. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he embodied what he preached. He preached service, he preached humility, he preached kindness to all living entities, jiva doya, kindness to all living entities. He was learned, he worked so hard in the service of the Lord. He did not neglect his other duties. And he is our great acharya, and due to his purity, as Srila Prabhupada said, we heard in the beginning, that he practically re-established the movement that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had begun. The devotees always feel about Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he's like a very, very kindly grandfather. And therefore, from now until his appearance day, disappearance day, we should take some special effort to enter into the mood of his prayers, because it's like in India. You don't see this in Australia at all, but in India you see that sometimes, especially in a place like Vrindavan, that's villagey, you see the bus driving down the road at say 80 kilometers an hour, and then you see one bicycle driver just holding on to the bus, and even though he has the capacity to go five kilometers an hour, by holding on to the bus he can speed along. We don't recommend but he can speed along up to 80 kilometers an hour. So similarly, if our prayer speed may be only 1 or 2 kilometers an hour, but if we hold on to the speeding bus of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mood, we can speed along and enter into that mood. And such depth of consciousness. In this world, we tend to want to go high, but without depth, our height will cause us to fall over. Depth is so much required. Depth is required. So let us pray to Sisi Radha Balava, Sisi Golantai, Jagannath, Dev, Baladev, Subhadra Devi, and Srila Prabhupada, all the Vaishnava Acharyas, our spiritual master, all the Vaishnavas. Pray that we can just receive one drop of mercy that will give us the capacity to move forward on a very deep level in our spiritual life. So please pray to the deities for this. with a focused mind and a full heart, and then see if you can carry this mood, this humble mood, to do some service with you forever. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Okay, we hold this. We see with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the whole, it was all based on service. All based on service. Okay, so you can, as you finish your prayers and your deep absorption and thoughts, you can gradually go and take prasadam.